Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
Multiple intelligences theory is the idea that people will adapt and learn things via their own preferred mediums and methods. It was a theory first suggested by Harvard developmental psychologist Howard Gardner back in 1983. The theory implies that because each of our brains is unique, that there must be different ways in which we obtain and process information and teachings. The theory was designed to counter the belief that someone who possesses a higher IQ score is smarter than the next person, and instead points to the idea that they score higher because they're more capable of processing the information due to the way their brain works. There's no right or wrong way to learn things. All that matters is gaining and knowing how to apply the information that you've learned. So let's talk about these different types of multiple intelligence. Howard Gardner's theory proposed that there are multiple ways in which an individual can be considered to be smart, clever. And that is just the case of understanding which type of intelligence fits you best. Now, through school and life in general, we've all got our hobbies and our interests and the things that we are naturally good at. And this is what the theory picks up on. In school, academic students may have been put on a pedestal of intelligence and seen as the ideal student. But while being academically intelligent is a good thing, other intelligences are also positive, but they've never really been seen in the same light, and as a result, not seen as intelligence, potentially resulting in what we might call a false narrative of certain people not being thought of as smart. The theory proposes that each of us will fit into a specific category, and some people might fit into multiple categories. But what the theory doesn't do is tell us that because we're not good at one thing, then we're not good at anything. So what are these categories? Well, there's 9 of them, and maybe more now, and they are naturalist, musical, logical-mathematical, existential, interpersonal, bodily kinesthetic, linguistic, intrapersonal, and spatial. So what do these actually mean? Well, the naturalist intelligence category refers to the ability to identify key components in the living world. Now, in time, this has been a clear and very obvious intelligence, because as a species, we've relied heavily on this in the past. Farmers, hunters, and gatherers, they still rely on naturalist intelligence in order to survive. But in the modern world, geographers, archaeologists, biologists, and even chefs are all people who still rely on this naturalistic intelligence within their livelihood. So then we have musical. Well, as the name might suggest, musical intelligence refers to one's ability to recognize, analyze, and break down sounds, as well as pitch and rhythm and tone. This intelligence can be replicated and demonstrated with musicians and their conductors and musical producers, for example. People who are musically intelligent are often aware of sounds people may miss, as well as the connotations of that certain sound, which it can have with specific emotions and relationships, which is why sometimes musical intelligence shares similar thought processes to logical intelligence, as they're both linked with an interest in understanding relationships. Then we move on to logical, mathematical. Well, this category, logical mathematical intelligence, is fairly self-explanatory. Possessing this intelligence means that you are better suited to statistics and patterns and propositions, perhaps. Relationships also play a really big role in this intelligence. Professions within the mathematical and scientific industries tend to require good levels of logical mathematical intelligence. And people will often be drawn to activities like problem solving, strategy games, and puzzles. Now comes a more complex one. Existential. Existential intelligences refers to the ability to tackle the big questions about life, an indicator as to why it's also known as being life smart. The questions that people who possess this type of intelligence, for example, might be to do with the meanings of life and to what happens to us when we die. Interpersonal. Well, the main relationship intelligence is this interpersonal intelligence. Having interpersonal intelligence means that you're able to effectively interact and communicate with other people, as well as being able to differentiate between moods, perspectives, and beliefs, for example. Most people who possess this type of intelligence also possess good leadership qualities, because they're able to communicate their ideas and thoughts, as well as to converse with and reassure people of any worries they might have. Teachers, politicians, social workers all show signs of interpersonal intelligence as their livelihoods rely on their ability to maintain and create relationships that benefit themselves and others. Now, bodily kinesthetic. Bodily kinesthetic intelligences. To have the ability and capacity to move yourself and objects in a certain way exhibits your bodily kinesthetic intelligence. To have this intelligence trait, like body coordination and timing and spatial awareness. An example of someone showing bodily kinesthetic intelligence would be an athlete. Dancers and craft workers like blacksmiths and woodworkers, they also show good bodily kinesthetic intelligence. But not all professions that use this intelligence are as physically demanding. Surgeons and jewelers also show good body kinesthetic intelligence, as they have to be really precise and extremely careful and patient. Three traits that someone who's impatient, clumsy, or short-tempered would not be able to do. Linguistic intelligence. Using words and language to express yourself clearly shows a good understanding and application of linguistic intelligence. Linguistic intelligence is the most common intelligence and allows us to interpret and reflect on language, as well as manage and dissect complex meanings, as well as the words themselves. Writers in every medium include novelists, screenwriters, poets, and journalists, all show linguistic intelligence, as well as public speakers, negotiators, and debaters. All people who have this intelligence can be found enjoying stories, writing themselves, or maybe even doing crossword puzzles. So we spoke about interpersonal skills to help you collaborate and work with others, while your intrapersonal skills help you recognize your own strengths and weaknesses. So intra means inside, internal. The intrapersonal intelligence can be found in people who are very self-aware, self-motivated, and able to appreciate their own condition and abilities. People with intrapersonal intelligence are able to understand themselves as well as their thoughts and feelings in a rational way. People and professions that highlight their own intrapersonal intelligence are, for example, philosophers and psychologists, or very spiritual people. Intrapersonal people can be quite shy and reserved, as they're aware of what their actions and words could potentially cause if taken the wrong way. The final multiple intelligence is called spatial intelligence. This is reserved for people who are able to process and interpret the world in three dimensions. Spatial intelligence is often linked with being artistic, possessing good abilities to recreate mental images and being able to manipulate a space, having an active and potentially unique imagination, like, for example, painters and sculptors and architects, navigators like pilots and sailors, all possess good spatial intelligence. So you see, just because you're not very good at maths at school, it doesn't mean you're not smart. It just means you possess a different type of intelligence. One of the most beneficial aspects to come from this theory, besides challenging the idea that being academic is the only true intelligence, is it can offer many possibilities for potential careers. And as a summation, I think it's really important to point out here that schools in the UK and pretty much around the world still follow a very linear factory production line of schooling where if you don't fit in, you fail. Well, a huge percentage of young people do fail across the Western world. 30 or 40% fail school. And it's designed that way. There's something called a bell curve where your grade is put on a curve. And there is a percentage of people who are determined to fail. They will fail because that's how the bell curve is designed. It's not fair because they often possess and probably do possess different multiple intelligences. If you don't fit in with school, then find a way in which you do fit in for what your passion is, what your calling is, what you're meant to be doing. So find your own path and also find the time of day that's best for you to study. Mine was not evening homework. I couldn't do anything in the evenings. I had to discover in my 40s when I was doing a doctorate that my best time, my optimal time to learn was between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning. But I didn't know that when I was at school. Nobody told me that. There were differences in multiple intelligences. Anyway, think on. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.